Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Still to come on the programme this morning, signals that more electricity support payments could be included in the budget. We'll find out why they might be needed, despite wholesale prices falling. The Minister for Justice under pressure over the number of Gardaí in the capital, and the Spanish election fails to reach a decisive result. What next for the country? Right now, though, the Women's World Cup, well underway, as you know, with Italy beating Argentina this morning in their Group G encounter, while Germany is currently beating Morocco 4-0 in their Group H opener. The girls in green are preparing for their second game of the tournament on Wednesday afternoon against Canada. To preview that, I am joined on the line by former Ireland international and member of the RTE commentary team, Claire Shine, and Sinead O'Carroll, editor of the journal.ie, covering the finals for both the journal and the 42.ie. Good morning, good evening, probably, to both of you. Claire, we know, obviously, how our team look now. Tell me about Canada and what our chances are against them.
I think we have a great chance. I think if we bring what we brought against Australia in terms of, you know, our intensity and our aggression, I think we'll do really well. I know Canada like to, you know, they like to get players forward, and they usually stay with a back two in there, and their full backs bomb up the pitch. So it's going to leave spaces in behind for us. And if we can utilise those spaces, I think we've got a really good chance.
What do you think, Sinead?
Yeah, we've been talking to the players here, and after the performance on Thursday, they're talking with a lot of confidence, and I think people will know the Irish team are quite defensive and they play quite conservatively, but they're kind of ready. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hints that they will throw the shackles off a little bit against Canada, and they got a lot of confidence out of that performance on Thursday, particularly in the last 20 minutes where they were creating lots of chances, and they all feel like, you know, if they create those chances again, they will score and potentially get a win. The team are definitely here talking about going for the win rather than another Morrow victory or a draw. So there's a lot of confidence to be taken from that. And we saw Canada play Nigeria. You know, they played out a nil-all draw after missing a penalty. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think, you know, there is some players to come back in to that team. I think there was... There'll be no fear, I don't think, from the Irish camp going into Wednesday.
Claire, how were the team characterising Thursday's game? Were they talking about it as a moral victory? Were they talking about it a loss? Or were they just talking about the next game ahead?
Yeah, well, they're fully focused on the next game against Canada. I think, you know, they were a bit disheartened after the game. You know, they felt like they could have went on and got the win. And, that was quite tough to take. You know, I think... going into this Canada, as Sinead said, you know, they can take a lot of confidence from that. You know, a lot of people wrote them off before the game, especially all the Canadians or all the Australians over here. So for them to put in a performance like that, going into the Canada game, they can be really confident.
Now, we saw Louise Quinn hobbling around in a protective boot on her leg. Is she going to be fit for Wednesday? Claire?
As far as I'm aware, yeah, I know she wasn't training yesterday, but yeah, I think she's going to be fit for the game against Canada, yeah.
Have you any different intelligence on that, Sinead?
No, she did a pool session while the team trained. They arrived in Perth. They trained in a nearby football club. She did a pool session, but there doesn't seem to be any fear that she won't be ready for Wednesday. They said it's totally precautionary. We knew she was icing the leg on Thursday after the match, and she's expected to train this week and play on Wednesday. I'd be surprised if we don't see her on the pitch.
The 12th player on the pitch, the crowd, I would imagine that the population of Perth is going to favour the Irish rather than the Canadians. What do you think, Claire?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I went for a couple of walks and I bumped into numerous Irish fans around here, which is incredible to see. They got a massive, you know, welcome at the airport as well, which is just incredible. But yeah, the Irish base over here is unbelievable, and you could really hear them on Thursday night in Sydney, and, you know, hopefully we can hear them even louder on Wednesday.
It's not going to be 75,000 people, Sinead, is it? What's it going to be? What sort of size are we looking at?
So we're talking about 28,000 people, but because it's obviously a smaller stadium, so the capacity is around that, it's pretty much sold out. The capacity is about the 28,000, but there's also standing. So I think the atmosphere, in Stadium Australia, it's a track. You know, it's where Sonia Sullivan won her Olympic medal. It's a track stadium, so often the atmosphere can be a bit deflated because of that. Now, the atmosphere was incredible on Thursday, but I think we could match it in Perth because, you know, that a sound, like that wall of sound from 30,000 people in a more intimate venue, especially with fans standing. I was talking to a couple of people who were in the tourist information booth down by the fans on today, and then she laughed at me and said, "Is there any Irish still in Ireland?" She said everybody was coming up to her asking questions today. Were Irish people looking at where they could watch the matches before heading into our game on Wednesday? So I think there's people visiting and also people who are living here who are coming to cheer on Ireland on Wednesday. I think it'll be special.
Is that a bit of an issue that's affecting the overall mood, Claire, the fact that so many of these matches are behind a paywall? Claire?
Sorry, I can't hear you there. What was that?
Claire, well, maybe you heard the question, Sinead. I was just wondering, does it affect the mood of the tournament overall if there are so many of these matches behind paywall and people aren't getting to see what's happening in all of the groups? Do you hear me there now, Claire? No.
Not really, no.
I heard,
Bit of a problem with Claire's line. Sinead, did you hear me?
I heard you there, Philip. Yeah, I think I've noticed this since getting to Perth, actually, more than Sydney, because the fan zones in Sydney were hopping and all the games, had a good atmosphere in the fan zones. And there was also it was very obvious the tournament was being held. Perth is a little quieter. It's a much smaller city and a much quieter city. But I have seen that happen a bit where people are walking around in jerseys kind of trying to find where the matches are being shown because it is behind a paywall. Now, we're still in early stages and there has been a great buzz, and I was talking to a couple of the Australian journalists last week and wondering, would the Ashes kind of take over some of the buzz given how big cricket is here? And he was like, nah, like people love the Matildas. I think as long as the Matildas are going well in the competition, the buzz will remain here.
Looking at the tournament overall, Sinead, there's not many goals. Do you put that down to nervy performances in the first matches or to good goalkeeping?
There's a little bit of both now. I had been talking earlier about there isn't kind of minnows versus giants, big hammerings happening yet, but bar Zambia, Japan, but we might be seeing one with Germany, Morocco, but Germany are 4-0 up at the moment, but they're probably the biggest gaps between the higher ranking teams and the lower ranking teams. But the standard of goalkeeping has definitely improved. Claire will probably be able to talk about this a bit more, but the standard of goalkeeping has just exponentially improved. If you think back to 2015 compared to now, like the two of the performances of the tournament so far have been the Costa Rican goalkeeper against Spain. They did end up going down 3-0, but she played fantastically, Solera. And then the US against Vietnam, again, the US would have expected a bigger win. I think there definitely was nerves there with the US team, but the Vietnamese goalkeeper had a great game as well. And that all goes down to it's one of the most obvious places where investment is seen. If you see the investment into training and facilities, but also into specific things like goalkeeping coaching, a lot of teams wouldn't have had a specific goalkeeping coach, never mind a goalkeeping team, up until this cycle. So, that I think pays dividends and probably why we're not seeing, some of those really uneven scores that we would have seen in previous tournaments. There's no 12 or 13-0 happening in the first round of matches, which is great. It shows how everything is equalising a bit across the world.
Have you thoughts on that, Claire?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. There was a lot of speculation around the 32 team World Cup in relation to that, because there was teams getting absolutely hammered, 13-0, 10-0. And it just shows the level of commitment now into the women's teams. It's just showing how much it's after coming on that, even the likes of Haiti against England the other day, their goalkeeper had an absolutely phenomenal game too. And for Mary Earps as well.
She only let in one,
the England goalkeeper. Yeah, and Mary Earp saving, a 1v1 against Haiti, who's the English goalkeeper, for them to win the Euros last year and then only get a narrow win against Haiti is just a credit to those teams, because it could have went one way or the other. It's just showing how far the game has come.
You've seen most of the teams playing at this stage now. Sinead, you first. Your favourite and your dark horse.
Favorite, I probably don't want them to win it because of everything that's been happening in the camp. But Spain obviously looked very good against Costa Rica. And
what's been happening in the camp?
Fantastic players. They had a split in the camp. So 15 of their players had written letters to their federation to say that they hadn't felt safe in their run-up. This is a good while back because of certain behaviours of the coach. The federation said that they would, they basically ignored them and said that they'd have to apologise before being let back on. Three players who were injured, including their best player, Patelis, said that they supported the 15, but kind of split in the camp. It's happened. Okay. Some of them have come back. Patelis is playing. So it's messy. It's a bit grim and grubby. So, yeah, you would... I probably wouldn't like to see them after all
but
that.
You but you think they are your favourites. And your dark horse?
And Australia are still actually my dark horse if they can get Sam Kerr back on the pitch. I think definitely Thursday night... was nervy. I think the Sam Kerr thing, getting injured, would have definitely affected them. But I think they have the ability to go far in the competition. So they're probably still my dark horse.
Okay, Spain and Australia. Claire?
I would say Germany would be my favourites. After their performance today, they're just absolute powerhouses. You know, Alexandra Popp is back in the side and she's just unbelievable. She's got everything that a team wants, you know, for their striker to be. And my dark horses would be Japan. I think their performance against Zambia was just unbelievable. Everywhere on the pitch, you know, Zambia are extremely physical and athletic, and Japan are just small but extremely technical. And their game plan was just unbelievably executed, and they played around them and they finished the game off 5-0, which is... You know, nobody had seen that coming. And I think, yeah, Japan are just a team that we'd want to look out for.
So what will be the most entertaining final for your money, Claire?
Oh, entertaining final.
Germany v Japan.
That would be very interesting.
Well, that would be logical enough, I suppose, given that they're your dark horse. Sinead, what do you think?
Yeah.
I would like to see Australia go all the way. I think it's really good for the tournament, and I think it would be good for women's sport in general. And I think if Sam Kerr gets back, I think she has done so much, and she's such a brilliant player. It would be nice to see her in a final. Also, a word for the US. We kind of forget about the US probably because they haven't been as strong as they had in previous years, but. You know, they're like everyone keeps talking about them as being old, but they have some sparky young talent there. And, you know, people are talking about them as they're less technical than the European side. But I thought they looked really good with their ball at their feet the other day. Obviously, Vietnam are, you know, a lesser team than they'll come up against. But, again, never write the US off, but I think they could surprise us with the level of football they play as well.
You're all leaving Brazil out of your considerations, who are the only top team we have yet to see playing. We'll get to see them at 12 o'clock today. But Claire and Sinead, thank you both very much for that analysis. It's just gone 11 o'clock. Let's go over to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.